Host Jay Thiemeyer speaks with Portland writer Smith Henderson about his highly praised novel, Fourth of July Creek. Set in Montana, the story explores the complexities of freedom, community, grace, suspicion, and anarchy. But first, at 10, it's Air Cascadia. Headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. That's coming up next on KBOO. Thank you for listening to KBOO Radio, and thanks KBOO members for your generous support. If you are not a member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today.
And they'll be mine, all mine, practicing 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Northwest Film Center screening of The 5,000 Fingers of Dr. T as part of the Cinema Under the Stars program on Thursday, August 7th at 7 p.m. The 5,000 Fingers of Dr. T is a musical fantasy film with the story, screenplay, and lyrics written by Dr. Seuss. Before the film, the Grand Style Orchestra will be playing a set of improvisational free jazz music. Again, that's The 5,000 Fingers of Dr. T, part of the Top Down Cinema series of the Northwest Film Center, on August 7th on the roof of the Hotel Deluxe's parking structure at Southwest 15th and Yamhill. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Thursday, July 17th, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Today's guest is going to be Samir Dosani. This is going to be interesting. Money moving around the world changes the balance of power in ways that it never did before, partly because there's so much more money, of course, and also because the way influence shifts has contributed to the fact that right now we can observe sanctions, as the U.S. gleefully announces that the U.S. is expending sanctions against Russia for its support of separatists in the Ukraine, saying that it's completely legal to change borders. Well, apparently it's perfectly okay for Israel to change borders. It's perfectly okay for Israel to seize land and to launch an all-out war against the civilian population. But it's not okay for Russia to do similar, and in this case, in the case of the Ukraine, far milder actions taking place there. And yet, wham, down comes the hammer on Russia for its support of separatists in the Ukraine. No hammer comes down on Israel for bombing Gaza back to the Stone Age. Oh, no. That wouldn't be right, would it? Well, we're going to be speaking with Samir Dosani about just this and many other things. The BRICS issues are the BRICS Development Bank, the alternative to the Washington Consensus. Again, when we talk about power structures shifting and old alliances crumbling and new alliances forming, along financial fault lines. Now we've got a whole different game to play. Samira is waiting patiently on the line. We're going to roar through a few headlines because we do live in Cascadia, and the Eugene City government has a new a motto on invest your public money in oil, coal, and natural gas. Just don't do it. That's right. State law doesn't allow cities to directly own stocking companies. But Eugene, like other local governments, is an indirect investor in oil companies, though its participation in a state-sponsored investment pool overseen by the Oregon Short-Term Fund Board and the Oregon Investment Council. That does have a little weight. The City Council yesterday voted 6-2 to approve a resolution that urges the Short-Term Fund Board, the Investment Council, and the Oregon Public Employees Retirement System to divest. That's right, to divest fossil fuel-related investments within the next 5 years. Go, Eugene. And a Multnomah County jury yesterday found Ibrahim Mubarak, co-founder of the Right to Dream 2 community, he was found guilty of trespassing and interfering with a police officer. I was actually there and I saw that confrontation. And I would say that the police officer did his share and more as far as interfering is concerned. On September 23rd, political and corporate leaders are meeting at the United Nations for the Climate Summit 2014. The summit represents yet another step towards the corporate takeover of the United Nations climate negotiations and the privatization of land, water, and air resources under the guise of a global climate compact. Meanwhile, as communities on the front lines of climate change, are cultivating real and place-based solutions to address global ecological crises, like as we see in the case of Eugene, where a community decides on its own to stand up and divest from fossil fuel resources. And China has tendered an offer for all 500 of the U.S. top 500 companies. Can this be true? It seems either too good or too bad to be true. And the AP reports the leaders of five emerging market powers said at a summit on Tuesday that they gave final agreement to creating their own development bank. And this is what we're going to be talking about right now. Supporters of worker cooperatives in New York City are celebrating a major victory. The city's council will allocate $1.2 billion towards worker-owned cooperative businesses this year. This is taking place in New York City. It's the largest contribution a municipal government has ever made in that sector, and advocates are hoping that this will start a trend nationwide. Well, it is, in fact, on the other end of the old seesaw. It's merger mania, with AT&T going after DirecTV, Comcast looking to gobble up Time Warner, and let's not forget Rupert Murdoch, who really wants all of it. Bloomberg has a source that says that Fox would sell off CNN. The company already owns Fox News to appease regulators. Ha! What are they? Actually, Murdoch's attitude is regulate this. So we move forward, stumbling into the future. Democrats and Republicans are fervently pursuing a batch of doomed bills in Congress. They target a coveted prize in the November 4th elections. What they want is female voters. So yesterday's Senate vote on contraception legislation is the latest example of Democrats' win-by-losing strategy, forcing Republicans to vote on sensitive matters that might rile women in the fall. Recent votes on pay equity as well and family leave issues were similarly aimed at women who are increasingly crucial to Democrats' election dreams and are therefore worrisome to Republicans. In no other way, of course, because they really don't. They really have no regard whatsoever for women. None at all. Any shift in women's typical turnout or the Democratic tilt this fall could determine tight elections, especially in the Senate, and we know that there's six seats there that should be watched very carefully. We now are going to speak with Sameer Dosani, and this is something I've been looking forward to for a very, very long time. We're so fortunate to have Mr. Dosani joining us today. Good morning.
Morning.
Well, you are with, I understand, Action Aid International. That's an international federation, more than 45 countries working to end global poverty. And you have this piece, BRICS Bank, new bottle, How's the Wine, to the BRICS Summit Reader, published in the, by the Heinrich Böll Foundation. So instead of reading off and quoting what you've written, I want to ask you about how this works, and for people who aren't sure what we're talking about when we talk about this this bank, this BRICS bank, what is it exactly that you're proposing here or putting together?
Yeah, it's not me who's proposing, it's BRICS countries who are proposing it. Just as a reminder to the listeners, we're talking about Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. And what happened back in 2008, you may recall that we had a financial crisis, a global financial crisis. And George W. Bush, in his last days in office, called on these other governments, these developing countries, these poor country governments, the big ones, and some not as poor as they once were. He called on them to contribute a lot of money to the IMF, basically to bail out Europe, it turns out, in the end. And they agreed only on the condition that that they would have more voting power in the IMF and the World Bank. That never happened. So what happened in a couple of years ago in 2012 was that these countries said, okay, we're sick of waiting for this question of representation to be resolved. Let's set our own alternative world bank. That's what we propose. They're going to call it the new bank. They want their slogan to be a new bank for a new kind of development. And my question would be, it's an unanswered question, but it's one that I'm working to figure out answers to. What does that new development model look like? And so far, the answers that we're seeing are in some ways not promising. I suppose it's good to have alternatives to the World Bank as much as a principle. But so far, what we're seeing is that the model... they're talking about financing infrastructure and sustainable development. And so far we're seeing that the model is kind of going to be similar, likely to be similar to what we see in the World Bank, in big mega projects, and so on. There's something else that the BRICS countries are doing, which is an alternative IMF, which may, depending on how it's being arranged, may actually be even more interesting than the BRICS Bank, in that it may provide countries an alternative for going to the IMF and not having to deal with Washington consensus policies and neoliberal policies and budget austerity, privatization, liberalization, and so on.
You mentioned privatization and how this new development bank would serve as a counterweight to the forces of privatization. Catherine Austin Fitz, we talked about earlier this morning about some of her work. She has mentioned the costs to the average person of corporatization, of the corporatization of virtually every aspect of our lives today, so that no matter which way we turn, we are paying, we are taking money which we have earned through our own labor, and we are putting it into the pockets of the already incredibly, obscenely rich. The amount of money flowing through Wall Street today, and a great deal of it too, is not 100% clean. It's pretty dirty money that's flowing through Wall Street. The BRICS Bank, this new development bank, would that serve to get the dirty money in Wall Street right now? How does it change the way markets function, and
unfortunately, we're really not talking about a challenge to the way that markets function. We're talking about a bank that would leverage, I mean, the way that they see it is that there's a lot of money basically going to waste in the current system because the world is awash in money, because interest rates are low in developed countries and elsewhere as well, and as a result, interest rates are low to try and boost investment. Consumption is also very low. So the result is that you have these massive reserves, global reserves. So this bank is talking about how to use those reserves in a more constructive way. The problem is once you access those reserves, you're straight away opening yourself up to the financial volatility, the inherent volatility of the market. So this is not a fundamental change to the structure of global capitalism per se. What it is an incremental step, possibly, in a direction which would allow meaningful development with those money. What I see in Washington consensus and what others have said for years and years this is chronic underdevelopment. By privatizing, by liberalizing, by cutting budgets, you're reducing the ability of the state to finance much needed infrastructure, including social infrastructure, hospitals, schools, and so on. So if we look at the BRICS, most of them actually have.
Hang on, Samir, the connection is bad and it seems to be getting worse. I would very, very much would like to have you back on the show. If we can get a different line or if we can find a better connection, that would be terrific. I know, I can literally feel that listeners want to hear what we've been talking about. It's very important. It's very much exactly where we are right now in our political conversations that we have with ourselves and with others, but this is the connection has just seems to have deteriorated to the point where it's very hard to hear. So let's try this again in very, very soon. I have been speaking with Samir Dosani with the Action Aid International, and what we've been talking about, of course, is BRICS and the New Development Bank. Which meaning that in addition to a more democratic governance structure, then there are rumors that each of the BRICS countries would contribute an equal share of money to the pot, meaning that they would all have the same number of votes on the board. The NDB, the New Development Bank, should ensure that the representatives from recipient countries are also part of the process. Much, much more to talk about there. This is a real game changer. This has been, my guest, of course, has been Samir Dosani. This has been Air Cascadia for Thursday, July 17th, 2014. Rock Bergeron engineered the show for us today. Thanks for that, Rock. Kathleen Stevenson's the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Flashpoints, Israeli gunboats shell a public